of us can turn in our Bibles to James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. Rob mentioned Pastor Barker and Mrs. Barker are traveling on a little vacation slash preaching trip. He's going to be in Hawaii and California for the next 2 weeks. So let's keep him in prayer. In the meantime, I thank God for the opportunity to speak this morning. And of course, tonight we have Brother Swanson preaching his very last service. He's going to be with us. And so we look forward to a good meeting all day today. James chapter 1 this morning, and I just want to look at a few verses here. James chapter 1, verse 13. We won't stay here, but we'll start here in the beginning. James 1, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." This morning, I want us to look at an important topic. I want us to consider the end. Choose your own end. I know when I was a kid growing up, there was a popular format of books called Choose Your Own Adventure. How many in this room remember those books? I can't be the only one. Come on. You can choose your own adventure. You can read a book, and as the reader, you are the protagonist. You are who the book is about. And so, you have a choice. It comes up as you're reading, you have an option. You can choose to save the girl's life, turn to page 54. Or to let the girl die, turn to page 60, or whatever. And you can choose your own adventure. And by making these choices, there will be several endings you can end up with. Right? So, depending on the choices you make, that will determine the ending you get to. Or maybe for some of us, maybe you never read those books. Maybe you are reading a mystery novel and it just really grips you. You're reading it all the time and you're like, wow, this is so gripping. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see how this thing turns out. And so you think about it and you say, you know what, I'm going to take a sneak peek the very last couple of pages. And then you ruin the whole thing for yourself sometimes. But you take a sneak peek and you want to see what happens in the end. But regardless of what your situation is, all of us know that the Bible lets us know, God makes it clear in His Word, depending on how we live our lives in real life, how we live our lives, there are different endings we can end up with. And God makes it clear in His Word. I'm not saying that God predicts exactly what's going to happen in your life, but we can know the end of the matter. And so, in other words, this morning, all of us have opportunities and choices that we make. God is not, He has not created us as robots to just do His will. No, we all have a free will. We all have the choice and opportunities to do as we please. We can choose to live our lives a certain way. We can choose to live our lives however we please. But as we do these things, we must consider the end. We must consider, all right, these choices I'm making today, what is going to be the end of that? What will be the final chapter of these decisions I'm making? That's what I want us to look at this morning. Choose your own ending. God tells us clearly from His Word what ending we can expect, depending on how we live our lives. Here in James chapter 1, first of all, we see the end for impenitent sinners. The end for impenitent sinners. I'll read verse 15 again. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, a lot of people think that, well, they can dabble, mess around in sin, and it's not a big deal. A lot of people have the idea that, well, I can go with the flow, I can do the ways of this world, and you know what? It's going to turn out okay for me. The Bible makes it clear that the end of sin is death. It's death. Proverbs says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So in other words, you can be living your life, making your choices, and you think, this is the way I should go. This is the way that feels good to me. This is what feels right in my heart. But God says that can end up in the ways of death. Now, what does that mean, death? Romans 6:21 says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Death in the Bible means separation. It can mean separation from the body and the soul and spirit, right? Everybody's going to face that death. It's important a man wants to die, the Bible says. Right? Death can also mean separation from God in all of eternity, in a place called hell. And oftentimes in the Bible, when it talks about death, that's what it's talking about. Judgment and eternal hell. The Bible can also be talking about spiritually. As a Christian, your spiritual life can be dead. Non-existent. You have no relationship with God. You have zero answer to prayer, zero power of God in your life. You have zero fellowship with God. It can be referred to that as well. Your relationship with God, your experience with God is not there. That's what sin does. That's what the Bible says. The end for impenitent sinners. Well, we know it brings death. It also brings God's righteous judgment. We talked about this just recently. Revelation chapter 21. Turn with me there. Revelation 21 and verse 8. God's righteous judgment. We need to consider the end. A lot of times we as people have a tendency to be so short-sighted. All of us, sometimes all we're considering is, all right, what am I going to have for lunch today after this preacher's done? We're thinking about, all right, what am I going to wear for school tomorrow? What am I going to... That's as far as we think. And the day-to-day decisions and how we conduct our lives, consider the end. The Bible says there's going to be an end for these things. Revelation 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You see, God's word makes it clear. You can choose your own ending. You can choose to live in sin. You can choose to reject Christ. You can choose to reject His grace and mercy, but this will be your end. This verse breaks it down. It says, first of all, the fearful and unbelieving. Fearful and unbelieving. Those don't seem like they would be too bad. I mean, you got murderers and sorcerers in here. What are the fearful and unbelieving doing in here? These are the ones that are too scared to step out for God. These are the ones that know they need to get right with God. They know they need to get saved. They know they need to repent. But they're too afraid of what their neighbor is going to think. What will my friend think? What will my parents think? What will the pastor think? And they're worried about, they're just fearful of everything under the sun. And the devil's putting that fear in their heart. And keeping them from getting right with God. Keeping them from getting saved. But you have a lot of church members that really aren't saved. And they're too fearful to make it right. I went to Bible college with a bunch of students that would come forward, and they made it right. They grew up living a lie. They grew up in church just like us, just like our church here. But they got to that point, they realized, you know what? I've been playing a game. I never was trusting in Christ. And they come to that point of brokenness, and they finally make it right. And they let go of that fear. I believe there's some people in this room this morning. You're letting the fear of man be a snare unto you from getting right with God. The fearful, the unbelieving, these are the ones that they hear the truth and they resist it, they reject it. Isn't that sad? We know about the love of Christ, we sing about the love that Christ has for us, and yet people stiff-arm God. They keep them away and say, no, I don't want that. You know, I talk to countless people, and young people in particular, who they come to that point where they realize, you know what, I need to get right with God. I need to get saved. But they're also smart. They consider what it means. If I get saved, if I get right with God, that means I have to repent. That means there's some things I'm going to have to leave behind. Amen? That means there's a lifestyle that has to change. And sometimes they're just not quite willing to do that. Not quite willing to let go. How sad that they would embrace sin instead of embracing Almighty God who loves them. But that's what people do. Well, the Bible says their end is judgment in the lake of fire. He makes it clear. If you turn to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. You see, this is a picture of those that will be glorifying God in heaven. And notice they recognize that his judgments are true and righteous. You see, this morning, if you're here and you're under the sound of my voice, I'll make it clear unto you. The gospel is simple. God makes it simple. He loves you. He sent his son down the cross for your sins. If you'll simply repent and put your faith in him, he'll save you. That's what he promised to do. Out of his grace, out of his love, out of his mercy, he promised a way of escape from his judgment. But if you resist, if you refuse, then he, as a just and holy God, will judge you by casting you into everlasting torment and hell in the lake of fire. Some people say, how can a God that's so loving, we say God to love the Lord, how can a loving God cast someone into hell? He's a loving God, but he's a just God. All his judgments are righteous. And as sinners against a holy God, that's how he judges sin. He doesn't play around with sin. So if we stay and we harden our hearts and we say, I'm not going to get right with God, that's what happens. That is what will be your end. Eternal hell. The judgment of God. The wrath of God. The progression to death is an inevitable result that Satan always tries to hide from us. In other words, you start out with sin, you think it's a good time. Sin brings pleasure for a season. You're enjoying yourself. The devil never lets you know what the final chapter of those actions will be. He never lets you know. He's a deceiver. He tries to reel you in, so he lets you think, it's okay. This kind of way of living is okay. You can do what you want. And it will turn out just fine for you. But there is an end. We must consider that end. Again, if you want to mess around with sin and the vices of this world, you can do that. You have that choice. You have that free will to make those decisions. But please, if you're listening to me, consider what the end of those choices will be. When we look at the commercials, or I like to watch sports, and tonight, we have the big Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm not going to skip church to watch a football game. I'll be in God's house. Amen. And I hope you are too. But I don't like to watch sports every now and then. I like watching basketball. But every commercial during these sports games are what? Beer commercials. Alcohol commercials. And Budweiser will show you that you have a good time when you drink. It's a fun thing to drink. But they don't show you the alcohol problem down the road. They don't show you the broken home. They don't show you the husband that mistreats his wife in front of his children. They don't show you the liver problems. They don't show you all these issues that sin brings. The addictions. Some people think they look at these pop stars and hip-hop stars and music stars, and now even the ones that are supposed to be clean, like Justin Bieber. Oh, he's clean cut. Justin Bieber, he's okay. And even he's involved in sin and immorality, obviously. And what happened? People become addicted to these substances. Sin, the devil never lets you know that, hey, try it out, it'll be just fine. No, he never lets you know that there's going to be a problem. You're going to have to face an end to these decisions. My mother worked in a clinic for a number of years, and she met many, many young people who their brains were just fried from drug use. Their lives were just in shambles, and you wonder how people so young can make such a wreck of their lives. And she would tell me and my sister, she would tell us, these young people, they started out with just one time hanging out with their friend. That's what they always told her. I just had one drink with my friends. I just thought I could take one puff, light it up just one time and just one puff and it'll be just fine. But I became addicted. And now their whole life is circled around a substance. Can you imagine? Their whole life is addicted to this substance. The devil never lets you know the end of these things. Immorality. A lot of young people, the culture today is all about sex. It's all about sex sales, all about promoting promiscuity. It's all about promoting just fleshliness. All it is today. Whether it's movies or music, all the media, it's all it's pushing down our throats. And many people are buying into that lie of the devil that, hey, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. No, it's not your body. The Bible says, what? Know you not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? And many young people are making a shipwreck of their lives in this area of immorality. A lot of our young ladies are getting involved with these guys. They think, oh, he loves me, he's going to take care of me, it's okay. And what happens? They get taken advantage of. A lot of men think, well, you know, it's cool to be a player. I'm going to be, you know, this guy and everybody's going to respect me. It's not respectable when you can't provide for your family and you have unwanted pregnancy and you're in high school. That's not a cool thing. The devil never lets you know the end of these decisions. When you mess around with sin, there is a price tag and there is an end. Well, how we live our lives, hey, God tells us, lays it out for us. There's judgment that comes from it. You know, I hear all these stories, and it's very grievous. Guys who want to mess around immorality, and then every week or every other time they have STDs coming up, and they say, well, you know, it's something I have to deal with. Is that life? Is that the way God intended us to live our lives? Young ladies who are crushed and heartbroken because they let themselves go to some man who took advantage of them. Is that what God wants for you? Is that God's will for your life? I say, no, it's not God's will for your life. That's what the devil wants for your life. Consider the end of these things, young people in particular. You can choose to play loose and fast, but there will be an end. One day, God's wrath, God's judgment will come knocking on your door. Listen, we want to pray and take care of those who are in these sins, and I'm not trying to say because maybe these things have happened to you that your life is over, there's no use for you. No, you can get right with God, and God, there's hope and grace for you. But there are many in this room, you're at the precipice of these decisions. For many of you in this room, you are at this fork in the road. And you can choose to go this way or that way. And the devil wants you to go down the way of the path of least resistance. He wants you to go with the flow and go with the culture, go with the philosophy. But God's way, that's different. There you got to carry a cross. That's not that fun, is it? Maybe your friends might not think you're popular anymore, guys, if you tell them, no, I'm not going to have sex before marriage. Some young ladies say, no, I'm not going to flirt around with guys. Maybe your friends aren't going to like that. But you know what? Who will be pleased? Your Creator. Your Savior, the God who created you and loved you enough to send His Son down the cross. He'll be pleased. And I don't know about you, but I'm more concerned with God looking at my life than what the world thinks about me. I'm more concerned with what God thinks than what the world thinks. I'm more concerned with pleasing Him than pleasing man. Consider the end of your life. Consider these endings. You can choose to dabble in sin. Some people, they are, I'm going to stay away from vices, but you know what? I'm just going to live my life just trying to, you know, make money. That's all my life is going to be about. I'm just going to keep making money. That's all life is about. Hey, it's all about getting mine and getting money, and that's what my life will consist of. You know, some of the richest people in the world, you talk to them, they're never satisfied. The almighty dollar never brings satisfaction and peace because what? It always leaves you wanting more. More. Never brings peace. You know, money can't buy a happy home. Money can't buy a happy marriage. Money can't buy a home in heaven. But a lot of people devote their whole life to money. And they throw their lives away. Consider the end of these things. Many people live to, hey, I want to just be famous and popular. I want people to accept me and be respected by people. And they look to the world's applause, men's applause, instead of God's smiling face on your life. What is the end of these things? Well, you'll be empty. You'll never ever get to the place where, all right, I'm accepted. Everybody just loves me and I'm great. It'll leave you empty, leave you wanting more. That whole lifestyle is vain. There's no purpose to it. And yet many people, that's what they devote their life to. You know, with the Super Bowl coming tonight, I'm certainly glad that one team is not in it. The New England Patriots. I'm not a New England Patriot fan at all. I do not like Tom Brady. I do not. But I'll read to you this quote from an interview he had in 2007. Tom Brady says this: why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings? By the way, some of you in this room, you don't watch sports. Tom Brady is a very, very successful quarterback in the NFL, I have to admit. He's considered, you know, like a golden boy. You know, dates pretty models, famous millionaire, you know the type. He says, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and I still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think, God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. He continues, the interviewer asked him, so what's the answer? And Tom Brady replies, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I love playing football, and I love being quarterback for this team, but at the same time, I think there are a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find. You see, Tom Brady realized something, that all of the world's accomplishments and all the grandeur that the world puts for these things, it means nothing. It's not fulfilling. It leaves an emptiness, a craving for something more. It leaves a thirst, because you know what? These earthly things will always leave you coming for more. These earthly things can never truly satisfy. That's why Jesus said to the woman at the well, hey, if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. When you come to Christ, when you come to the Lord, He satisfies all your longings. He meets all of your needs. He gives peace that passes understanding. He gives the joy unspeakable and full of glory. But the world can never give those things. Amen. The devil just gives a cheap imitation of those things. Amen. Don't fall for the cheap imitation. Go for the real thing. Go for what God has for you. Consider the ending of what decisions you're making today. Tom Brady realized, you know, there has to be more to life. You know, I hope and pray Tom Brady finds it in Christ. I really do. When I saw that interview, I said, wow, how moving is this? Someone that's so elevated in our society and culture, but yet he admits he's empty. He wants more. Well, what is the end for the impenitent sinner? Well, we know death and hell, but you live a life, unfulfilling life, a life of misery. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never allowed Jesus Christ to come into your heart to change your life, let me implore you, let me plead with you today to receive Him as Savior, accept His free gift of salvation. Listen, the truth of the matter is that today, Jesus Christ is standing with open arms, with hands that were pierced for you. That's the truth. But there will be a day, if you reject Him, that you'll stand before Him, and with those same pierced hands, He'll cast you into everlasting fire. With those same pierced hands that you refused, you rejected, He'll cast you into everlasting judgment. And I'm not saying that with a smile on my face. I'm saying that with a tear in my eye. That is the end for some people in this room, if you stay in your sin. You can choose how you live your life. You can choose the decisions you make today. But listen, God has a final say on how you'll end. Choose your ending. That doesn't have to be you. So number one, we see the impenitent sinner. Secondly, what's the end for the weak Christian? The end for the weak, anemic Christian, the kind of wishy-washy Christianity that we kind of see today. The end for weak Christian living. If you're still in Revelation, turn to chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3. And verse 15. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord is addressing the church of Laodicea. And in verse 15, He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Again, He's talking to a church, a saved body of believers. And He's saying, you're lukewarm and you make me sick. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. You see, a lot of Christians think today, I'll have just enough of the world and just enough of Jesus to kind of be happy. And what ends up happening is you're not happy, first of all. Lukewarm Christians are the most miserable people in this world. And secondly, you make the Lord who saved you, you make Him sick that He wants to spew you out of His mouth. How sad. Well, in this spiritual sense, lukewarmness is a picture of indifference and compromise. A lot of Christians just, they're apathetic. Who cares? It's not a big deal. Who cares about winning the lost? It's not a big deal. Who cares about reading my Bible and praying? How important is that? Who cares about going to church? It doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. And they're indifferent, apathetic. The Lord calls you lukewarm. The Lord says, you make me sick. I want to spew you out of my mouth. Compromise. Christians who think, well, you know what? You know, this is, you know, you guys are way too strict. I need to compromise and allow some of the world in my life as well. It's okay to have some of the world in my life. Well, let's consider the warning in James that God says, He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? He says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. We need to consider those harsh words the Lord tells us. Lukewarm Christians want to have it both ways. Lukewarm Christians aren't all bad, but they're not all good either. To them, they say, well, I'll just be as good as I can, as good as I need to be. They're sort of like that little girl who prayed, God, help me to be good today. But not that good, just good enough to not get a spanking today. That's how some people live their life. Just enough good so I'm not judged and I'm not, you know, God doesn't take away his blessings. And they try to have it both ways. That's not the Christianity Jesus Christ died to give us. That's not what God expects from us. That's not God's will for our life. God expects us as Christians to be walking in victory every day with occasional defeat. God's not saying that Christians are supposed to be perfect. You're not looking at a perfect man when you're looking at me. But God is looking for Christians that are walking in victory with occasional defeat. The problem is most Christians are walking in defeat with occasional victory. And that's not God's will. We need victory constantly, consistent victory in the Christian life. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. But is there victory in your day-to-day life over sin? For far too many Christians, that's not the case. And they're lukewarm. They have too much of the world to be happy in Jesus, but too much of Jesus to be happy in the world. Hey, let's make a decision. If you're here this morning and you're kind of messing around, you're on the fence, get off the fence, get on the Lord's side. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't let the devil deceive you thinking it's evil to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is the greatest thing you can ever do with your life. Many people have it mixed up and they get deceived. Well, if I live the Christian life the way I'm should, then I'm never going to have fun. I'm never going to have a good time. Then how can I ever, you know, enjoy life? Listen, following God's will for your life, there's no greater thrill when you can look back in your life and say, wow, look what God did. God did that. God provided that. All because of His Word. He promised in His Word, if I follow His will, He'd do this. You see, God didn't leave us walking this earth just kind of clueless. He lays it all out for us. We can see the end of how we make our choices. We see the ending. And we have a choice. You can live for yourself. You can. There'll be an end to that. You can live for God, and there'll be an end to that too. You'll be rewarded. Many Christians today are lukewarm in their prayer and Bible reading. They're lukewarm about it. They're inconsistent, sporadic. They think it's not that important. Hey, we need to get back to having our devotions and making that a priority in our life. Families need to be having devotions together. That should be a priority in their life. Dads, parents, especially dads, make that a priority in your family to have devotions, to lead the way on that. But many Christians are lukewarm in their prayer life. Many Christians are lukewarm in their church attendance. Well, you know, I'll come this week, I'll miss the next week, and I'll come next month, and I'll miss the next month, and up and down like a yo-yo. Hey, God's will is for us to be faithful to His local church. Right? Jesus Christ died for the church. He loves the church. Let's make church a priority in our life. Amen? Let's make a commitment. Lord, help me to be in your house whenever the doors are open. Help me to hear all the Bible preaching you have for me. You see, when you miss a service, when you skip services, you're missing out on something. You have to realize that. God is working and moving in every service. I don't want to miss out on God's moving. I don't want to miss out on God sweeping through and doing something in my heart. I want all that God has for me. God puts a premium on church faithfulness. If you read the book of Hebrews, He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as a manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hey, as the day is approaching, as the day of the Lord is coming, as the world is getting worse and worse, Christians should be assembling more and more. Christians should be coming to prayer meeting more and more. Christians ought to be coming and supporting the faith, the church more and more and being faithful. We don't need Christians that are up and down. We need Christians that are faithful. Moreover, it is required in man that a man, or it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. God is not looking for extraordinary ability. He's looking for faithfulness. That's all He wants, is faithfulness. Many people are lukewarm when it comes to service. Many people just simply, they don't want to get busy serving the Lord. They don't want to get into the work. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They just want to be a spectator. Let's not be lukewarm about this. If I'm a Christian, I want to be the kind of Christian that's described in the Bible. One that gets in the work. That God is using them for His purpose. You know, if you're on a sports team, I don't know anyone on a sports team that says, hey, coach, I want to sit on the bench. Please don't put me in the game. Please, I'll be content sitting on the bench. Let me be a bench warmer this year. The whole year, don't put me in the game, please. No, nobody joins a sports team and has that mentality. But why do many Christians who are saved, blood bought, they say, Lord, please don't use me. Lord, please don't call me. Lord, please. Hello? What's the problem here? What's the connection here? Don't let the devil deceive you in thinking it's evil to serve the Lord. It's a joy and a privilege to serve our King, to serve our Savior, our Master. Hey, listen, if you pray every night and you call Him Lord, you're calling Him Master. You are His servant. Listen, that means that it's His will for your life, not your will for your life. That means you ought to be serving Him intrinsically as a Christian. Who you are, you should be a servant. You should be working for Him. And this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what am I doing for the Lord? With my service to the Lord? The comparison is not comparing to, you know, looking at so-and-so. Well, brother so-and-so doesn't do that. Sister, she doesn't do anything. Why do I? The comparison is to Christ. Right? As Christians, we don't compare us with each other. We compare ourselves to Christ, conforming to His image. And what would Jesus do, right? Let's get busy serving the Lord. Let's not be lukewarm and on the fence. Let's get in the Word. If God has blessed you with the talent to sing, hey, join the choir. Let's get busy singing for the Lord. If God has blessed you with the talent musically, instrumentally, join this orchestra. Get busy serving the Lord. If God has blessed you with, you know, some of these men are very handy and they're always doing some work for our hand, we can use some more men like that. Get busy serving the Lord. Amen. Everyone can pray. Everyone can give and do these things. Let's get busy in God's work. Let's not be lukewarm about it. Well, what is the end of lukewarm Christianity? What is the end of lukewarmness? Well, we just read in Revelation, you make your Lord and Savior sick. You make Him sick. In other words, the Lord is just completely disgusted with you and your behavior. You know, some of the most convicting times in my childhood growing up weren't when my parents were, you know, screaming mad, but it was when I knew I let them down. And they told me, Carl, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed in what you did. And, you know, I'm not perfect. There's been times in my life where that's happened. And so for a Christian, how much more shame will Christians feel when the Lord says, you disappointed me? You know, I cannot say well done to you. You're a disappointment to me. You know, the Lord asks us to be the salt and light. And He said, if you're not effective, He says you're good for nothing. You're useless. For many Christians, the Lord says, you're useless. You're of no profit to me. I have no use for you. And how sad, how tragic that the Lord puts that on Christians. You can make that right this morning, by the way. You can come to this altar and make a decision, because you don't have to stay on the path you're on. You're not locked into this ending. You can start a new chapter. You can have a new beginning. And the Lord will give you a different ending. Amen. Hey, someone said the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. You can make things right today with the Lord. You don't have to be lukewarm. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm sorry, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Lord is teaching us the principle here. He's saying, listen, these are two possible endings you can have. For the lukewarm Christian, this is the person that you're consumed with the things of this world. You may not be sin. It may be good things, you know, education and making money and providing and doing all these things, but in the course of eternity, they mean nothing. The Lord says these things are wood, hay, and stubble. When they're tried by the fire, they'll be burned up. You'll be saved. You'll enter into heaven, but you have nothing to bring before the Lord, no reward to cast at His feet. And I believe many Christians will feel great shame when they stand before the one who died for them, the one who gave it all for them, and they gave Him nothing. Nothing. He gave it all, and you won't even give Him part of your life. You won't even serve Him with your time, your talent, your treasure. You won't even sacrifice for Him when He gave it all. And many Christians, I think, they'll be looking as folks are casting crowns at Jesus' feet and worshiping Him, and they'll have nothing to bring to the Lord. And what a shameful day that would be. Some of you need to get on a new path. Start a new chapter. Turn the page and get a different ending. You're headed down a road that you don't want to be on. If you're a lukewarm Christian this morning, examine yourself compared to Christ. And get right with God. You know, God has given you life because He's given you a chance to repent. Every day that God blesses you with is a chance to make things right. Take advantage of those days. Well, we get shame and reproach from weak Christian living. Many Christians want to compromise. But let's be firm. Let's be hot. Let's serve the Lord with zeal and fervor. Let's not be cold. Let's not be lukewarm. But let's be hot, on fire for God. Thirdly, the end for faithful disciples of the Lord. You know, God gives a lot of warnings for the end for sinners and for weak Christians. But for faithful disciples, He tells us what the end will be. Turn back to James chapter 1. James chapter number 1 and verse 12. We touched on this a little bit. James 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." Faithful Christian, listen, God does not demand sinless perfection. God demands faithfulness and obedience. It means, hey, you may get your eyes off the Lord at a certain time, but you make it right and you get right back serving Him faithfully. But faithful Christian, your life is not going to be free from trials. That's not what I'm preaching. Joel Osteen wants to tell you that, but that's not what the Bible says. There's going to be trials and tribulations. But blessed is the man that endures those trials and temptations. If you stay faithful, cling to Christ, keep your eyes on the Lord, there's a crown of life promised, the Bible says. Right? And this crown is not one that's going to fade away. Earthly crowns and earthly medals, they will corrupt, they'll fade away. But if you faithfully serve the Lord and endure to the end, God will give you a crown that will never fade. God will reward you. You know, God will reward you in this life too, by the way. He will reward you in this life. And it may not come in the form of a new car or, you know, a big old mansion. Those shouldn't be the blessings we're looking for anyway. You know, I'd rather have spiritual blessings over those things any day. I'd rather have the knowledge that God's perfect will is being done in my life. I have no greater thrill than knowing this is God's perfect will. No greater thrill. Having peace, joy, and contentment. Things that the world and things that material things could never give you. Spiritual blessings. God promises these things. Return to Psalm 37. There are some rewards that God promises for believers. Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 31. Well, first, let's look at verse 23 at first. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." In other words, God promises to those that are faithful, the Lord will be with you, provide for you, He'll order your steps. He'll uphold you. What a promise. Verse 31 says, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Skip down to verse number 37. "Mark the perfect man." That means the one that's complete, established in God. "And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Oh, but look at verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, we have choices of how we live our life and the decisions we make, but we need to consider what's the end of these choices. I'd rather have the Lord ordering my steps. I'd rather have peace. I'd rather have a promise that I will not slide if I cling to His Word than have destruction and being cut off. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is kind of like a sister chapter to Psalm 37. They both deal with similar themes. As David and Asaph look at the world, they got their eyes on people. And they're saying, you know, God, why are you blessing these people? And I'm your faithful servant, and I'm being chased, and my life is threatened, and all these issues are coming up. How come the ungodly heathens, they look like they're being blessed, and I'm being judged? Why does it look like that? And they're getting discouraged. Psalm 73 and verse number 17. Psalm 73 verse 17. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Let's get back to God and what their end will be. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought unto desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. So we see the contrast here. We can, in our lives, say, you know what, I'm trying to serve God and trying to live the Christian life, and all of a sudden, a trial just comes out of nowhere, blindsides you. And we have a tendency to maybe get discouraged and doubt, and maybe even look at other people and question, why me, Lord? Well, we can say, Lord, I know You're in control. I know You promised in Your Word You're going to uphold me. I know the end of those who are wicked, that they'll be cast down, they'll be judged. Consider the end. I know while we're going through the trial, it's hard to get our eyes on the end, but we need to consider the Lord will reward us for our patience and our endurance through a trial. That's important. Turn also to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. I want to contrast this last point with my first point for impenitent sinners. A lot of sinners think, you know what? Who cares? I don't need God anyway. I don't need to get right with God. I don't need Christ in my life. There's going to be a time when you need God. There's going to be a time when you're sitting on that hospital bed and you realize, wow, where is God? There's going to be a time when the trial comes in your life and your eyes are opened. But here's what God says for those that harden their hearts and they keep on rejecting God. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, right? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 26. Well, let's start in verse number 25. He says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And then he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Notice it's a choice. And God says you will reap what you sow. And for some in this room, you're headed down that road. You think it's quite okay. And one day you're going to want to get a hold of God. And God is leaving you alone. That's a sad day when God just departs from you. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, if you read the Bible, Pharaoh hardened his heart, then what happened? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about those that engage in sin, and what happens eventually? God gives them up. God gives them over. God gives them delusion. God pushes them over the edge, so to speak. Don't let yourself get to that point. That's a sad point to get to. Especially when there's a loving Savior that wants to bestow His mercy and love on you. Well, that's the end for the sinner. The end for the faithful disciple of the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, hearing our Savior utter those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the highest commendation there is. That's the greatest commendation I could ever get. It's one thing when your boss says, hey, you did a good job today. It's one thing when your parents say, hey, I'm proud of you, son, or I'm proud of you, honey. But how greater is it when Almighty God, Jesus Christ, when He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the Lord is pleased at the end of your life. Let's finish strong as Christians, as faithful followers of the Lord. And this will be our end. And He'll give us that crown that we can cast back at His feet and praise Him. Oh, what a day that will be. You know, we just sang the song, "It Will Be Worth It All," when we sing Christ. I love that song. What a great truth there is. You know, we as Christians, there may be bumps in the road in life. There may be trials and tribulations, but all the worth of it all, when we see Christ, when we see His smiling face, right? And He is pleased with how we live our life, with our response. The choices you make today will determine your ending on that day. Some of you need to get the bigger picture in life. It's not about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or even next year. It's about eternity. What is it going to count for eternity? How do you live your life? I'm not saying to neglect the earthly matters that we need to tend to from time to time, but I'm saying let's place their priority, their premium on the eternal things. Let's get a different mindset, a different focus on our life. Let's consider the end of if I devote my life to investing in eternity, what are the blessings that I'll reap? A lot of people are investing in things here on this earth, and they'll reap little, I guess. But listen, I want to lay up treasure in heaven. Amen. I want to build up my mansion up in glory land. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. The reward for faithful laborers. Well, I think of Daniel, the story in Daniel chapter 1, where they were put to the test. They were commanded to eat of the meat and drink of the wine that the king told them to do so. And Daniel said, "I can't do that. That's a sin against my God." It's in Daniel chapter 1. And Daniel put God to the test. He said, 10 days. Give us 10 days. And let's see how we fare. Let's see how we look from not eating your food compared to those that do eat your food. After 10 days, the Bible said they were fatter in flesh and fairer in skin. In other words, they were healthier from not sinning, from not compromising, but from staying true and faithful to God. God blessed them. There's a lesson there for all of us as Christians. Listen, there's temptations every day to be like the world, to go with the flow, the path of least resistance, to just follow the crowd. But if you stay true and faithful, there is a reward for you at the end. God promised to us. In concluding this morning, I want you to understand that none of us today, if you're here this morning, there is hope for you. There's a chance for you to make things right. This altar is open for you to come and make a decision for the Lord. Make a clear decision. For some, it's to continue. Lord, help me to continue being faithful to the very end. For some, you need to start. Some of you, you're not saved. You've never been born again. You're still living in your sin. Heaven is not your home. Hell, truthfully, hell is your destiny if you stay in your sin. You can make that right. There can be a new beginning and a new end for you. Maybe there are some Christians. You haven't been living the Christian life the way you ought to. You've allowed compromise to creep in and you've become lukewarm. Don't let yourself stay there. Don't stay in that position where God will spew you out of His mouth and you make Him sick. Don't stay down that road where you lose your effectiveness for the Lord. You can make it right even this morning. You know, the great thing about our Lord and God is He's merciful. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Claim that promise this morning. Make it right this morning. Get a new beginning in your life so the Lord can change your ending, so the Lord can bless you. Renew your dedication to God and make a lasting commitment. Lord, I'm going to faithfully serve You to the very end. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for these admonishments, these warnings in Your Word, and also the encouragement, Lord, that if we stay faithful, Lord, that You will bless us. You will provide for us. Father, I pray, Lord, for some in this room that are far away from God in sin. Lord, would You break their hearts over their sin? Lord, would You help them to see the loving Savior? Bring Holy Spirit conviction. Lord, there's some Christians that have gotten cold as well. I pray, Lord, You draw them back to the fold. We know, Lord, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Lord, show them Your goodness. Show them you're far better than the world. You're far better than what the devil tries to show them is a cheap imitation. And Lord, help us all to stay faithful, to renew our commitment and dedication to you. With heads bowed,